I stand in awe, yes, of my King tonight.
Amen.
God is so good to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to give you an invitation tonight to a miracle. If you have your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 32, I want to read one verse of scripture from there, and then I'm going to go to Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah 27, first of all. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. That takes me in.
Amen.
I am the Lord of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?
Amen.
That's a question God asked. And then in Jeremiah 33, I want to begin reading at the first verse. While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the Lord gave him this second message. This is what the Lord says. The Lord who made the earth, who formed and established it, whose name is the Lord, ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets that you do not know about things to come.
Amen.
Ask me. Is there anything too hard for God? You know, this could be a very insulting question.
Yeah.
If puny man were to ask God. And you know, as I was looking, I thought, you know, it could be an insulting question, and it also could receive a very embarrassing answer.
Yeah.
Amen. I read about a lady, a Sunday school teacher, and she had been teaching in her Sunday school class several lessons, a series of lessons, on the omnipotent power of God. And she asked her Sunday school class, as she said, now we've been studying all about the graces of God, greatness of God. Is there anything God can't do? Is there anything God can't do? And they said there was a hush that came over the classroom, and finally, one little boy stood up, raised his hand, and she said, well, Sammy, what do you say? He said, well, he can't please everybody. He can't please everybody. This question was not asked of God. It was not asked about God. It was not asked to God. It was asked by God.
Yeah.
He asked the question, is there anything too hard?
Amen.
In fact, in the scripture, if you search the scripture out, you'll find that there's two different places that he asked this. In Genesis chapter 18, God was talking to Abraham, and he promised Abraham a son. You all know the story. And Abraham's wife, she was over 90 years of age at this time. She laughed about it, and God took offense with her laughing about it. And she laughed out loud, loud enough that he heard her, because he hears you when you laugh too. And so he said to Abraham, of course she was old enough to have great grandchildren at this time, much less children of her own. But the Lord was, he was kind of set back with her laughing at this. And God asked Abraham, he said, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? And then here's the question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord?
Amen.
Is there anything too hard for the Lord? You know, we live sometimes like there are things in our life that are too hard for God to take care of.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. I do. You know, I feel bad after I do that, but, you know, I had to pray through over some things.
Yeah.
Amen. But here in Jeremiah, God repeats the same question to Jeremiah. He said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all creation, of all people. Is there anything too hard for me? If you read the scripture, you'll find that Jeremiah had already answered that question in verse number 17, I think it is, of chapter 32. Jeremiah said, O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you.
Amen.
Nothing is too hard for you. But then when we look at Jeremiah's situation, we find that the Lord told Jeremiah, he said, ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets that you do not know anything about, of things that are going to come. Jeremiah lived in tough times. And I believe if you'll begin to ask people today about the time that we're living in, they will tell you we're living in tough times.
Yeah.
You know, times have changed, people have changed, but like the pastor said a while ago, God's not changed.
Amen. Right.
Amen. He's still the same, or just the same that he was in Jeremiah's day, he's the same today.
Amen.
Nothing is too hard for him. We find that Jeremiah's people had been taken captive. His message was rejected, and he was thrown in prison. In the courtyard of prison, under prison guard. But even in the midst of his trouble, there was an encouraging word that God had for his servant. It was a good word. We know Jeremiah as the weeping prophet, and he had a good word from the Lord. And we find that God invites him to a life of miracles. Now, we said a while ago that God's not changed. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He'll be the same tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen. He doesn't change. People change, but God does not change. So God invited Jeremiah to a life of miracles.
Amen.
I believe that same invitation is given to you and I tonight.
Yes.
That we are invited to a life of miracles.
Amen.
You know the reason we don't receive a lot of our miracles is because we grumble and complain too much. Ouch. But that's the truth. You know, you could ask, there's some people that I've learned there's some people you just don't ask how they're doing. Unless you've got a long time to sit down and listen. There's one lady at the Pithian, and you ask her how she's doing. Just wonderful, just wonderful, just wonderful. That's all she says. Just wonderful, just wonderful, just wonderful. One day I was talking to her and I said, you're not just wonderful, you're pushing the cart around, a walker around, walking within. So now tell me how you are. She said, You don't have enough time. She said, it would take me 5 hours to tell you everything that's wrong with me. I said, I'm just going to take it. You're just wonderful. Let's go on from there. So there's some people you learn. You learn not to ask, you know, how they're doing. But God has invited us to a life of miracles. And prayer brings miracles into our life.
Amen.
Now I want to say that again. Prayer brings miracles into our life.
Amen.
What did he say to Jeremiah? He said, call unto me.
Yeah.
Call unto me. What an invitation that God gave to Jeremiah. What an invitation God has given to you and I, that we can call, come into the presence, that we can call upon the Creator, the one that created this old body, the one that created this universe that you and I live in, the one that gives us air to breathe, amen, the one that makes it possible for you and I to put one foot in front of the other one. We have an invitation that we can call on Him. And know that He hears and that He answers our prayers when we call on Him.
Amen.
He said, call upon me. What an invitation God has given. Prayer begins with God's invitation.
Yes.
Not with our troubles.
That's right.
Amen. I want to say that again. Prayer begins with God's invitation. Not with our troubled condition. Look at Jeremiah, the condition that he was in. He was in prison. Jeremiah still had, he was confined in the courtyard. The guard was guarding over him. But the Lord gave him a second message when he said to him, call upon me.
Yeah.
Call upon me. What an invitation God has given. There are many invitations in the Bible to prayer that you can go to and you can look up. Matthew 7:7 says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. James 4:2-7 says, you have not because you ask not. Huh? Hebrews 4:15 tells us, call boldly. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
In times of need.
Mm-hmm.
We're needy people. Our church is needy.
Yeah.
Not the building. Of course, the building may need some things too. But we're the church.
Amen.
And we are needy people. But we serve a God that specializes in supplying the needs of His creation. Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because we can call upon Him. We have an invitation to call upon Him and know that He hears and He answers us when we pray.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I need a miracle. I know I do. I need a miracle. We all need miracles. Amen. But we're serving a God that specializes in miracles. Amen.
Yeah.
I thought, as you know, the video that we saw this morning of the young man that was in the car wreck, and I think the pastor, you read that where his head had gone through the sunroof and that, and I thought, oh my, you know, chances are 9 times out of 10 he would have been dead. But God had a purpose for him. Amen. It may be in a wheelchair, but God's got a purpose for him.
Amen.
And souls are being touched because of the invitation that God had given to him to call upon Him. And He would hear him and answer his prayer. So what about the promise of prayer? We find that the Lord said to Jeremiah, call upon me. But then he said, I will answer thee.
Yes, he will. Amen.
Call upon me, and I will answer thee.
Yes.
You know, on television I saw an ad the other day that you can come to a certain place and buy If you buy a car, you get to spin a wheel to see if you can get your tax and tag free. For, you know, they'll pay for it if you spin the wheel right. You know, we treat the Lord that way sometimes with our prayers. Huh? It's not like spinning a prayer wheel to see if God hears us or not.
Yeah.
It's not like bowing to an idol.
Yeah.
God hears when we pray. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Answer prayer. In the Bible, God gave Abraham a son.
Yeah.
His name was Isaac. God answered in prayer.
Amen.
In 1 Kings, we find, chapter 18, we find that, in chapter 17, we find that there was this hillbilly preacher that came on the scene by the name of Elijah. Nothing is said about it, but just said that he was from the hill country. So he was a hillbilly preacher. And he came on the scene and he told the king, "Hey, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain."
Yeah.
Don't you know that probably ruffled some feathers?
Yeah.
But when you operate under the power of God, you don't worry about feathers being ruffled.
That's right.
Amen. You just know that when God has spoke to you and told you to say something, he's going to bring it to pass.
Amen.
Amen. So God heard the prayer. It didn't rain. You know, for 3.5 years it didn't rain.
Yeah.
And then the scripture also tells me that Elijah was a man subject to like passions like you and I are. But yet he prayed again.
Yes.
That it would rain, and it did rain.
Mm-hmm.
So God hears when he gives us an invitation to come to him. It's a privilege that you and I have that we can come to the Maker. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And know that he hears. Know that the promise that he's given to you, he's going to bring it to pass. Amen.
Amen.
We find in Psalms chapter 34, verse number 4, where that David prayed for our freedom. David said, "I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from my fears."
Yeah.
You don't have to run around wringing your hands. Hello.
Yeah.
Amen. We can put our trust in God tonight because he's given us an invitation for us to have miracles in our hearts, in our lives, in our church, in our city,
amen,
in our community. Amen.
Amen.
And Solomon prayed for wisdom in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. And God gave him wisdom.
Yeah.
But then there is something that is said about we have the privilege of prayer. We have the promise that that God hears and answers our prayers. And I've had people tell me, "Well, God doesn't hear my prayers." If you're his child, he does. Now, there's some people that pray that's not right with the Lord.
Right.
And the first prayer God's going to hear from them is the prayer of repentance.
Right.
Amen. So, I've had people tell me, you know, "Well, God just doesn't hear my prayers." Well, are you living right?
Right.
Are you in right standing with God?
Right.
Amen. Come on. That goes for church people as well. Are we in right standing with God?
Right.
When we pray, does God hear? He hears. Amen.
Right.
But do we need to do some repenting?
Amen.
Do we need to say, "Lord, turn the searchlight onto my heart. Search me, O Lord."
Oh, yeah.
And see if there's anything that needs,
yes,
to be done away with.
Amen.
I'm repenting, Lord, tonight of all the things that is keeping me from receiving the blessings of God. There is power in prayer.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. One person, there's power in prayer. But just think when the whole church begins to pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just think when the whole church becomes united.
Yes.
Becomes focused on the same thing. If it had not been in one accord on the day of Pentecost, it wouldn't have happened.
That's right.
But they were in one mind, one accord. They were there for one reason. They were told to wait and pray in Jerusalem. And they did. They waited. They prayed. And God sent the power of the Holy Spirit to them. I want to tell you, when the church begins to pray, the devil is going to have to run. He's going to have to turn and go in a different direction, because God's going to do something great for the church. Amen. We are living in one of the most exciting times that there is, to know that we are in the last days. Amen. And that the coming of the Lord is so near at hand. But he said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh in the last day. It's going to happen, church. And I want to be in on the ground floor of it. Amen. I want to receive everything that God has. But you know what? It's not going to just happen. It's going to happen because we pray.
Amen.
Because we pray. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20 says, he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you and I ask or think.
Amen.
In other words, he can do more than you and I can ask.
Amen.
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 He's able, more than able, to meet every need that you and I have. Matthew 17 and 20 says, there's no limit on our asking.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
No limits put on our asking. My dad used to tell me, but why, Dad? Why? He said, I told you once, and that's enough. That's it. I just tell you one time. That was his theory, too, and he stayed by it. You know, I don't want to hear begging. Now, I know none of us never did do that, you know. But the Lord, the one that has given you and I an invitation tonight, that has given to you and I the privilege of coming to him, the one that has promised that our prayers would be answered, the one that has showed us that there is power in prayer when we talk to the Master, there's no limit on our asking him. I believe it's in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, said, all things are possible with God.
Amen.
All things are possible with God. So I'm persuaded to believe that we need to accept God's invitation for prayer.
Yes, amen.
But I pray at home. I do too. But I also think we need to pray at church.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. I've had people tell me, well, I can't pray because, you know, I can't keep my mind on what I'm praying about with others around me praying. Get saved. You're not praying to those around you. We're praying to the Master.
Amen.
And he hears. He's given us an invitation. So we need to pray for our homes.
Yes.
We need to pray for our church.
Amen.
Amen. You can say, well, our church is doing good. Are we?
Come on.
Come on, are we?
Come on.
And I'm not saying just our church. I'm talking about the church world as a whole. Are we really doing all right?
Yeah.
I know the pastor gets to the Outlook magazine, but we this last one we got, I think there's 477 churches, Assembly of God churches, in the state of Oklahoma. I think there's 15 over 1,500 ministers that are credentialed in the state of Oklahoma with the Oklahoma district. But when I started down the list of looking how many attended church, how many was faithful to church, how many souls were saved, my heart broke. How many people were baptized with the Holy Ghost? It broke again. If there's 477 churches, there should have been at least 477 people saved. There was more than that, but there should have been at least 477 of them that was baptized with the Holy Ghost. So what are you saying? I'm saying we need to pray.
Amen.
We need to call on God. We need to pray for our homes. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray for our nation. You can't watch the news without some negative thought at all being about our nation or about our government. It makes no difference to me if you're Republican, Democrat, Boll Weevil, Independent, or whatever you may be. You know, the thing that matters is, are we putting God first?
Amen. That's right.
In everything that we do? We need to pray for our nation.
Yes, we do.
And we need to pray for our personal needs.
Amen.
We need to pray for our personal needs. But when we pray, we need to expect God to answer.
Yes.
You know, we come to church sometime, we don't suspect anything. We come, and that's all we do, just suspect. We need to expect God to move.
Yes.
When we come. I, as I've been studying this week, and I look, what a privilege that I have, that I can come to the Master.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
And know that He hears me.
Yes.
You're beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words. Too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You're beautiful beyond description. Majesty and throne above.
Amen.
That's who we've been talking about tonight.
Yes.
The one that has given you and I an invitation that we could come boldly. I don't have to go through a high priest. He is my high priest. And I can come directly to Him and know that He hears and that He answers my prayer. You're beautiful beyond description. Yet God crushed you for my sins. In agony and deep affliction, cut off that I might enter in.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Who can grasp such tender composition? Who can fathom this mercy so free? You're beautiful beyond description. Lamb of God who died for me. And he's invited me that I could come boldly into his presence. Hallelujah. And present my need to him. And to think that he loves me so much that he takes time. That he takes time to listen to my every need that I have. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody and they were just too busy, just, you know? Have you ever tried to talk to somebody and they said, come back later when I've got more time? I've been in stores where you used to have to take a number and stand and wait. When that number's called and you know, I think Pierce Meat Market used to have that. They still do? Yeah. You take a number. But you know what? When I come into his presence, when I just whisper the name Jesus, all heaven stands at attention. He doesn't say take a number and wait. He doesn't say come back later when I've got more time. He says, yes, child, what do you have need of? And in his love, he speaks to us. How does he speak to us? Right here.
Amen.
The pastor tells us over and over and over, the three things that is so important is we pray, we read his word, and we be faithful to his house. Amen. So God has given us a special invitation tonight to miracles. I don't want to miss out on mine. How about you? Huh? I don't want to miss out on what God's got for me. He's got something in store for each and every one of us. But it's up to us to get to the place where he can touch us. Amen. Praise God.